Proverbs 20, verse 2. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. So far the word of God. And there are many ways in which verse 2 is true. The first and greatest way is with the King of Kings. God, when he warns his people in the book of Amos, describes himself as a lion who has roared. And he warns us that it is utter folly to fail to tremble at the roaring of the lion. God has revealed in his creation his wrath against all the unrighteousness of man. We know from the creation that God exists. We know from the creation that he is almighty, all powerful. And we know from the creation not only the order that he has put in creation, but from his writing, his law on our hearts. We know right from wrong, and that God is a just judge, and that those who break his law deserve death. Second half of Romans chapter 1 teaches all of these things. If we do not recognize that God is holy and righteous and that we deserve his wrath and we deserve to die, then we are as stupid as someone out, not at a zoo, but out in the prairies, who comes round a corner and there's a lion in front of you and it roars and prepares to pounce, and you would not be afraid. Now, thankfully, certain firearms aside, not much you could do in that situation. But God has given us the gospel of his Son, where the lion actually becomes the one who defends us. It's very different, right? When the lion roars, if the lion happens to be on your side against the one who attacks you. And that's what happens in salvation in Jesus. You believe in him, and his blood atones for you, and the wrath of God against your sin is gone. That's what propitiation is. And now the righteousness of God demands that the power of God bring you every good thing that the wisdom of God can come up with. The lion would be for you. Praise God that he has given us himself in his Son to save us from the wrath of the roaring lion. The one who provokes God to anger does indeed sin against his own life, doesn't he? That's why in Psalm 2, when it talks about the wrath of the Son being quickly kindled, it precedes that by telling kings and rulers to be wise and to give ear and to kiss the Son, to submit to him. It announces, before his wrath is quickly kindled, it announces that all who trust in him are blessed. Blessed are all who trust in him. So that's the first and great important way. Second way is when you resist authority. If you resist authority in something that Jesus does not require you to resist authority in, then you are resisting the authority of Jesus, because all authority comes from Jesus. This is what Romans 13 teaches. Now, if the authorities command something wrong or forbids something right, and you must disobey them, then you are going to suffer perhaps wrath with a little w from the little authority. But he must fear the wrath that is above him. But when we submit to authority, generally speaking, we ought to do so out of reverence for Christ's authority which sits above them, knowing that if we disobey and we suffer wrath from an authority that is under Jesus, the authority of Christ backs him up. Even if our sin is atoned for and we are blessed forever in Christ by his righteousness and his sacrifice, yet there is a justness to the carrying out of the lawful authority that has been set over us. And so we must admit that we have provoked to wrath and we have sinned, perhaps even against our own life, if it is a capital crime. And then the justness of God would approve our execution. Do not forget that God himself was executing Christians in Corinth, even though they would not be condemned along with the world, according to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then there is the third way, and that is the immediate wrath of the king himself. Recognize that in God's order he has placed people over you, and that their being placed over you puts them in a position where they can do you much harm or much good, and that since this authority structure is from God, it is not merely pandering and manipulation to give respect to someone's office. It is acknowledging that God has put them in a position of power. Power is not bad. There's something called critical theory in our culture that says all power is bad. There should be no one in authority. If someone is in authority, then the first thing that needs to be done is to bring them down. And usually it's other people who are in authority kind of channeling the foolish to the ones that they want to be brought down, but they never mean themselves. Right? Satan, who is the original critical theorist, says, I don't like that God has all the power. I should have the power too. But do you think Satan would like those who are in the kingdom of Satan? As we know, he has a false and wicked kingdom to bring him down. So, authority is not bad. Power is not bad. God invented power and authority. He is the great power and the great authority. And yet, there are authorities, we know, that either are illegitimate or are not carried out in the right way, and they will answer to Jesus, because there is no king except that they must answer to the King of Kings, and there is no Lord that they must answer to the Lord of Lords. But what about us who are under a king? God has put in that king's hand, or that authority's hand, the ability to do us good and the ability to do us harm. And recognizing the way that God has organized the structure of a home, or even in the workplace, some are masters and some are servants, or in the civil sphere, where you have kings and lesser magistrates and their subjects and the ones entrusted to them, that authority is created by God, and we ought to be respectful. And if you, out of a rebellious spirit, a contrarian spirit, just like to resist authority that is above you. There are many people who hate critical theory, but they're kind of critical theorists. They don't like being under authority, so they have that resistant, rebellious spirit. And if you act on that, and you're not respectful to those whom the Lord has set over you, you are sinning against your own life. You are bringing harm upon yourself. And you're doing so against a structure that the Lord has put in place. And now if we do it after hearing and having explained Proverbs 20 verse 2, we're doing it not only against a structure that the Lord has put in place, but we're doing it against the instruction that the Lord has given us in his word. So let us be careful of our hearts that we don't indulge a rebellious or authority-resisting spirit from our own hearts, and therefore we would have to admit, in light of Proverbs 20, verse 2, that we have brought the harm upon ourselves. We ought to have known better. We just wanted to be provoking, and we provoked the lion. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. Let's pray. Father, help us to rejoice in your authority and your Son, the Lord Jesus' authority, so that we would obey him in all of our obeying lesser magistrates, that we would submit to him in all of our submitting to lesser magistrates, and that when, in order to obey him and submit to him, we have to disobey, we would know that the greatest wrath of the greatest king is set aside from us and that he is defending us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize the authority structures you put in the home, with husbands and fathers as the heads and so forth, and help the children to honor their mother as well. Pray that you would help us to recognize the authority structure you put in the church, with the elders, and in the civil sphere, with various magistrates. We pray that you would give us not just to obey commands and follow leadership, but also to be respectful with our hearts and with our mouths. Cleanse us, we pray, from, deliver us from a provoking spirit, rebellious spirit, that comes from our original fleshly nature. Grant to us the strength and quietness of spirit of Jesus, who does not revile when reviled or open his mouth, but entrusted himself to you who judge justly. Help us, O Lord, to entrust ourselves to you and to operate within the authority structures that you have put in place. Help us to heed the warning in this word and not to provoke to wrath those who have from you in their hands to harm us. For we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.